The Word of God this morning is from Romans chapter 3, Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 26, Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. The righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Book of Romans, it is at the focal point of many of the epistles. It deals with the foundational issue for mankind. In Romans verse 18 to chapter 3 verse 20, it deals with the issues of sin. It deals with issues of judgment of God. But beginning on verse 21 of chapter 3, we begin to see Apostle Paul writing in regards to salvation now. Verse 21 of chapter 3 is the beginning of the doctrine of salvation. The greatest problem that mankind faces from birth is the problem of sin. How can one be free from the burden of sin? And it is in critical problem, critical issue for every mankind. And the sin that we often think of is merely the outworkings of the original sin that resides within us. So the question of sin, the utmost important problem that every mankind faces, it is important for us to understand what sin is. Because the Bible declares that the wages of sin is death. As I have spoken to you last time, that Adam truly have sinned against God. And upon sinning against God, his eyes were open. And Satan deceived Adam to think that he will be like God after he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Even though that God had warned against that, that once he eats from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that he would eventually face death. And from there on, sin began to reside upon mankind. And after sinning against God, Adam and Eve were filled with shame, and they decided to cover their shame. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And you might be questioning within yourself that you've never sinned against God like Adam. So how am I a sinner before God? You may even think that you have not committed such a egregious sin against God. And how am I a sinner? How am I a sinner that was merely born into this world? Why is the Bible calling every mankind a sinner? But however, as we looked at last week, though you may not be a sinner because you have directly sinned against God, you are a sinner because you are a descendant of Adam. That sin that came into Adam and Eve was passed down to you, that you were there when Adam sinned against God. And therefore, even if you did not sin, even if you never sinned, you are a sinner because that sin has been passed down to you. And the evidence of the fact that you are a sinner and that there is sin residing within you is found in every facet of your life. that the presence of sin is displayed all throughout your life, through your actions and through your words. So therefore, the Bible says you are born in sin and death, and therefore, because of the penalty of sin, that you live your life, which will ultimately end up in death. And because of sin that dwells within you, you cannot help but to sin in your words, in your actions, in every facet of your life. And because of sin, you experience misery in life, you experience pain, you experience disappointments in life. You experience the vanity of life, you experience the disappointments of life. You set a goal in life and you somehow achieve it, but even after achieving any goals in life, you often experience emptiness. And you try to find satisfaction in life, in people, and you are deceived to think that you will find true happiness in finding love in other people. And in life, you ultimately experience that nothing in life would bring you happiness, bring you true satisfaction. And you find that at the end of your life, even if you have all things of this world, it does not bring you true peace, true happiness. Even if you have nothing of this world, neither does that bring you true happiness, true peace. You find that nothing in this world that you can possess truly to the end. So then in such a life, what must you possess? What must you seek for? And behind all these issues of life, behind all these emptiness of life, misery of life, where is it all coming from? It is all coming from sin. And God has given us conscience. Conscience that acts in our life to point us to the fact that we are sinners and that we come to know that when we sin. So Bible tells us that within us there is an innate nature of sin. But however, mankind are not aware of this fundamental issue, fundamental problem of sin within their life. And they do not know that regardless of what they do, regardless of what they achieve, regardless of what they pursue in this life, there is no answer to the problem of sin. But the Bible is clear in pointing out that our mere existence is sin. And the problem of sin cannot be done away with by accomplishment of anything in this world or by lacking of anything in this world. And so, being under the influence and the burden of sin, the mankind fails to even recognize the presence of sin in their life. But instead, they are deceived and they pursue what is pleasing to their flesh, what is pleasing to their eyes, what is pleasing to their pride. They pursue after such things in life. But even after pursuing after those things and they achieve success in those things, they find no answers to the problem of sin in their life. And as I have preached last week, and we looked at Ecclesiastes, Solomon says, under the sun, all things that a mankind would labor and toil for, what benefit does that bring to the mankind? What is the benefit of the labor and the heavy toil upon a man? That is a question that Solomon asks in Ecclesiastes. So regardless of what work, what labor, and what toil is done by a mankind, there is no answer to the problem of sin. And people don't like to talk about sin. But however, when you open the Bible, especially the book of Romans, from the first chapter, it talks about sin. Because God knows our true nature. Even though we turn our eyes to something else and pursue and a life that is deceived by in pursuit of something else, but God knows that is all in vain. And God knows our ultimate problem, our most fundamental issue in life is the problem of sin. So Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 18 of chapter 1, deals with the issues of sin for the nation of Israel and sin for the Gentiles. That it points out that all have sinned, and if you have sinned, then the penalty of sin is death. And Apostle Paul, if that is the only issue and the end of the scripture, there is no reason for him to write further. But now, beginning on verse 21, he writes in regards to salvation from sin. So the doctrine of salvation begins with verse 21. In regards to, it speaks to in regards to the righteousness of God. Verse 21 says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. It says, but now, in Greek, it speaks of a strong comparison. A strong comparison pointing to the new age. It is the beginning of the new time, new age, new point in time. So it says, but now, and before that, Apostle Paul was writing about the sinful condition of mankind, but now it begins the time of new revelation, new light from God. It begins the time when the mankind moves from death to life. So in strong comparison, he begins by using these words saying, but now. It begins the time from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In the Old Testament times, we see the picture of this, how God had instituted the year of Jubilee, when people who sold their land would get their land and back. The slaves would be free on that land, on that year of Jubilee. It was point of a new beginning. And it is the same for us. It is a picture of what happens when Christ comes into a person's life. It is a year of Jubilee when we are free from being the slaves of sin. We are freed in that year at that point when Christ enters in. So when the trumpet blew, signaling the beginning of the year of the Jubilee, it was the year of freedom for the people of Israel. And what is the trumpet of Jubilee upon our lives? It is the declaring of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the coming of the Son of Jesus, Son of God, upon this earth. It is the day, the birthday of birth of Jesus Christ. That is the trumpet of Jubilee for the mankind. So Son of God came to this earth, but the mankind rejected him. There was no place for him to lay his head. He came to that which was of his own. He came to that which he created, but all of his creation rejected him. He came down to this world, that which he has created, but the mankind rejected him. It was an insult to the Creator God. And when Christ came and was birthed, there was no room for him. And so he was born in a manger. But what if Jesus was born in a palace? You and I would not be able to go and see him. And we read in the New Testament scriptures, Simeon, when she saw baby Jesus and Mother Mary, she was so moved by the presence of Son of God, the baby Jesus, that she praised God and said that she can truly find rest, that she can truly die, knowing that she has seen the Messiah, knowing that she has seen Jesus Christ. If Christ was born in a palace, how can the Magi come and worship him? In the same way, when God created mankind, he did not create you as a diamond or gold. He did not create you from the diamonds of the earth and the gold of the earth, but he has created you. He had formed you from the dust of the earth. You might be thinking it would have been greater for you to be created from the diamonds of the world or the gold of the earth. If that is so, how can the seed fall upon such hard things like diamond or gold and grow and bear fruit? You were formed from the dust of the earth because God desired for the seed of Christ to fall upon the hearts of mankind, and that seed would grow and bear fruit. And that was the greatest of all blessing for you and I to be created from the dust of the earth. That is what it means when the scripture says that you and I were created, the mankind was created according to his likeness, according to his image. That you were created for you to become the dwelling place of God. So therefore, once you come to believe and come to know that truth, then you should be thankful for the fact that he has created you from the dust of the earth. So here in our main text this morning, it says, but now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Here it says, apart from the law, which means that apart from the man's work, the law is given to us to expose the man's sinful nature. So because of our innate sinfulness, the mankind are not able to live a life that is perfectly obedient to the law of God. So therefore, it says, apart from the law, apart from the mankind that cannot keep the law of God, apart from the man, it says, the righteousness of God has been made known. It's pointing to the fact that apart from the old man, apart from the sinful man, because God knows that there is nothing that can be done with the sinful man, with the first man, that God would not and cannot do anything with the first mankind. So apart from the first man, says the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Obviously, that is referring to what has been revealed in the Old Testament scriptures. And we have received the Old Testament testimony in regards to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. All of the Old Testament scriptures can be summed up as a testimony of God testifying to the coming of Jesus Christ. That's why it says, to which the law and the prophets testify, that the righteousness of God, that Jesus Christ had been revealed to us, prophesied to us in the Old Testament scriptures. So in other words, it's pointing to the fact that the old man, the sinful man, has now been transformed into the sons of God, the children of God. Just as we were in Adam, we are now included with Jesus Christ. And the fact that the righteousness of God has been made known, it's talking about the fact that we now have been made one with Christ. Just as in verse 25 it says, to be received by faith, that Christ is to be received by faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Here, the verse says again, it's God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ, who had no sin, he came into the world, and he came into the world, all of our sins was placed upon him, and that he died on the cross. Instead of punishing us, who were the sinners, But he placed all of our sins on his son, Jesus Christ, and placed him on the cross, and nailed him to the cross, and he died on the cross, as he cried out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? So in place of us, the sinners, he put him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. When I was in Seoul, Korea, and I had an opportunity to speak as a guest speaker at a revival at another church, I met this handicapped person who was very faithful in the church. He had no use of one of his legs, and he would move around, limping around places. And as I was preaching that night, and I said in my sermon that there was this, as an illustration that I gave, I told them that there was this man who was covered in darkness, covered in blackness of sin, but there was sent a person who is white as snow, the person picturing Jesus Christ. He came, and that person took upon himself the darkness of sin, the blackness of sin, that Jesus came, he took upon our darkness and the blackness of sin, he took upon himself. And as this person was hearing this illustration, she received the gospel. And that's what this verse is saying, that on verse 21 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when it says, when God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So he caused us to become righteous, that the seed of Christ has come and died, but from that seed falling upon the hearts of mankind, it gave birth to new life. So it speaks of Jesus Christ, it speaks of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and now his righteousness has become our righteousness. So when it starts our main text this morning with these two words, but now, it's pointing to the fact that you used to be the sinner who had no hope under the curse of sin, but now through his son Jesus Christ, you are now declared righteous. And one thing to point out this morning is that God is not interested in the old man. And as an old man, the first man Adam, our innate nature is to work, is to put in religious works, is to pursue something with our own works, and through our own works, desiring to achieve righteousness. We fast, we try all we can not to sin, because we are deceived to think that through our own righteousness, through our own works, that we are made righteous. Through our fervent prayers, fervent fasting, fervent religious life, we think that through such things we are made righteous. But the Bible says that God is not interested in our religious fervor, religious works. God is interested in only one person, that person of Jesus Christ, the God-man Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus is looking at. He's not interested in looking at our own good works. He's not interested in our own religious works. His interest, his focus is only on one person, which is his son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus came upon this earth, all of mankind, all of the universe was included in him. And so God looks upon his son and Jesus Christ. God looks upon the work of Jesus Christ, and therefore you must turn to Jesus Christ today. Beloved, it is not through our works that faith comes. It is not through our good works. It is not through our religious commitment that faith comes. But it is through the work of Jesus Christ that salvation comes upon us. It is because we are one with Christ that we are declared righteous, that we received our salvation through faith in what Jesus has done for us. Through the work of Jesus Christ, you have been made righteous. If you truly come to know and believe in this truth, then you will cease all of your own religious works. You will cease all your efforts, all your good works to try to become righteous. And that is what our main text this morning, through faith in Jesus Christ, that the righteousness of God has been placed upon all mankind. As all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And in other words, what is the reason for the fallenness of mankind, the misery of life today? It is because of the fact that Adam and Eve from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in the same way, when Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, his shame was exposed, and instead of eating from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, he was to eat from the tree of life. And after sinning against God in such a way, there was no way back to God, but out of his mercy, he sent the tree of life, which was at the Garden of Eden. Because we cannot enter in the Garden of Eden ever again after the mankind sin, he sent the tree of life to us, his son Jesus Christ to us. He sent him to us that we might be made righteous. And not through our own works, not through our own will, but through faith that we would receive Christ. So a man says, I've sinned a lot today and I feel like God will punish me, and regardless of how many times I go to the church, I feel not quite right with God. It is all because you're basing your relationship with God based on your own faith, based on your own works, based on your own emotions. Your closeness to God fluctuates based on your performance. Beloved, can you ever provide and atone for your own sins through your own prayers, through your own works, through your own religious activities? No, that is not possible. It is only through His Son, Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to become us, to become you and me, to take upon Himself our sins upon Himself. And it is only through faith we come to receive what He has done for us. How can that faith come to us? It is not merely through our works. It is not through our efforts. It is through the hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of Christ. The gospel is what God has accomplished on our behalf. That is the truth. That is the gospel. So the more you hear of the gospel, you come to truly believe what Christ has done for us, for you. You come to realize the fact that instead of trusting and believing in what Jesus has done for you, that you are trusting and believing in what you have done for yourself. And oftentimes you are deceived to think that God's relationship, your relationship with God, is dependent upon what you do for God, instead of coming to know that your relationship with God is solely based on what Christ has done on your behalf. So if you continue to live your life based on your own performance, your Christian walk will always fluctuate up and down because you base it upon your own performance. Such thinking, such religious life must be crucified and put to death. So the salvation is not manufactured by mankind, but salvation is given to us through Christ. Salvation is made possible by God. It is the work of God. So if it is the work of God, how can you add anything to what God has done? salvation through work of Jesus Christ. It is through his life, death, and resurrection. It is not through our own efforts. We cannot provide for our own salvation. But the fallen world, the religious church, the religious circle says that the more you give, that the more work, that the more prayer that you offer unto God, then the closer you will be to the righteousness of God. That is an impossibility for every mankind. But instead, how can you discover yourself through faith in Jesus Christ? It is through the hearing of the word of Christ. And as you hear the gospel, you come to understand that you are capable of doing nothing. You are not capable of doing anything to please God. And to come to that understanding, that is what it means to repent, to come to understand the sinfulness of your own life, your inability to keep the law of God. And when God leads in such a way, he allows certain events in our lives. He allows illnesses in our lives. He allows certain strife in our relationship with others. And through those difficulties in life, he causes us to discover the nature of the sinful man. He causes us to come to know the nothingness of life, of mankind. And through the hearing of the word of Christ, the faith begins to enter in. And at the end, you come to know that with Christ you have died, with Christ you have rose again. It was not based on your own works, it is based on the work of Jesus Christ. Not through your own works, but through the work of God, through the work of Jesus Christ from above, that the salvation becomes yours. So if you were to give yourself a grade, what percentage would you give to yourself? If you look at your religious life, what would you give? What score would you give yourself? It is an impossibility, beloved, to be accepted by God through our own works. But it is only through the work of Jesus Christ our salvation is found. Regardless of what sin you committed, the moment that the blood of Jesus Christ was spilled on your behalf, and the moment that you discover that the work of Christ has made it possible for your sins to be forgiven, that's when you truly become saved. When God enters in, when God grants you faith, you are able to look upon the cross and realize that at the cross of Jesus Christ, you died with him. So even if you are this close to ending your own life, regardless of how lowly you are, regardless of how sinful you are, regardless of how despicable you are, when you're in Christ, you are made righteous. So if you look at your own self, you can't help but to be depressed. You can't help but to be helpless. But in Christ, when you look to Christ, you are hopeful. You are filled with hope. You are filled with assurance that you are made righteous. Because in Christ, you have been saved. In Christ, you have been made righteous. And because people take their eyes off of Jesus Christ, they turn Christianity into mere religious works. Beloved, God is not interested in receiving sacrifices of your own. But God is interested in receiving the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, receiving you through the work of Jesus Christ. And so when that Christ enters into you, then you live a life that displays the glory of Christ within you, then your life becomes the acceptable worship to God. So apart from Christ, if there is no Jesus Christ within you, God is not interested in receiving worship from you, receiving praises from you apart from Christ. But if you truly have heard the gospel, and that Christ has now come to you, Just as Apostle Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And if such genuine believers gather together, they gather together, and their praises become the praises of the one who lives within them. And the lives of those who have Christ within them, their lives become the life lived out with Christ within them. And so their life becomes living sacrifices offered unto God. So when Christ is within you, God does not look upon your own life. He looks upon Christ within you. And that is the new creation. That is what it means that you are made into new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So Adam ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. So all of the rest of the mankind fell into sin because of Adam. But the second Adam, the person of Jesus Christ, came. And so he has made it possible through one man that we become saved. And so the salvation is only possible through God, not through mankind. So if you have no experience of coming to know the sinfulness of your own heart through the hearing of the law, even when the trumpet blows, signaling the beginning of the Jubilee, you have no idea what that trumpet means. Beloved, you must come to know that your greatest enemy is not others around you, it is yourself. Unless you come to know that sinful state of yourself, you will not come to Jesus Christ. So through the law of God, through the word of God, you must come to truly know your own sinfulness and come to know the nothingness of yourself. And such a person then would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their hearts would be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if today you are trying to enter into the kingdom of God, you are trying to work out your own salvation on your own, then you will not truly experience the salvation of God. But it is only through what Christ has done. And by hearing the word of Christ, you will come to know that it is not based on your own works. It is based on what he has done for you. And that is why Apostle Paul declares, but now the righteousness from the law, a righteousness God has made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, the righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ. And how is the righteousness made? How does the righteousness of God become ours? It is given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. And to those who place their faith in what Christ has done, he makes us righteousness, and there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. And verse 23, it says, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. And through one man, Adam, sin entered in. When Adam sinned, all of the world sinned. And therefore, all of us fell short of the glory of God. The mankind that was created according to God's image and likeness, we were created to be the dwelling place of God. We were created to be united with God. And how precious is that truth, that the mankind was created according to God's image, according to God's likeness. That is what mankind is. And why was the mankind created from the dust of the earth? The mankind was made from the dust of the earth, but we were made for God. How can the likeness and the image of God be displayed from the mankind? It only is possible when God begins to enter in and begins to dwell within us. When a potter makes this cup and you place certain malleable things in there, the shape that takes on is the shape of the cup. It is the same, beloved. God created us taking the shape, the form, the likeness of God. It is only designed for God to enter in. It is not made for any other things to come in and fit. It is only made to be the dwelling place of God. So how precious, how worthy is the value of mankind. Not only should we be thankful for how we were created, the mankind sinned against God and sin entered in. God did not command us to achieve our own righteousness, but God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent Him to the cross and He died and rose again, making it possible for us to be right with God. And beloved, with our own intellect, it is impossible to believe this. And that is why God sent His Spirit to us to enable us to believe. And so, beloved, in regards to salvation, there is no work that we can offer up. No matter how much we try, there is nothing we can contribute to our own salvation. So therefore, you must not focus on not sinning, but you must focus on Jesus Christ, what He has done on your behalf. So faith comes by hearing the word of Christ. So you must desire and look to the reading the word of God, hearing the word of Christ. Beloved, it is not merely through your own discipline in reading just the words of the Bible, but as you read through the words of the Scripture, as the Spirit begins to work within you, He will open your eyes to the truth. Beloved, Christianity, beloved, is one that is based on revelation of God. Unless God reveals you the truth in the Word, truth in the Gospel, you will not be able to come to know God. So, beloved, as you read the Bible, pray to God that God will open your spiritual eyes, because if you merely read the words of the Bible from the perspective of your fleshly eyes, you will not be able to believe. But pray to the Lord that God will open your spiritual eyes to come to know what Christ has done for you, to come to see that what Christ has done on the cross was done on your behalf, to come to know that His death and resurrection is your death and resurrection. So that is what we must pray for, that you must pray to God that God will reveal you the answers to the problems of sin in your life. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The mankind that was created according to God's image, the only time we would bring God glory is when He begins to enter into us and dwell within us. If you have a pair of gloves, one glove, you fit a hand in there and moves about. With the hand fitted in there, that glove is able to do a lot of works, a lot of things with the hand fitted in there. What does the work? Is it the glove or the hand? It is the hand that is fitted into that glove. That is the illustration of what it means to be created according to God's image and His likeness. Beloved, you and I are merely a pair of gloves without God within us. God has to be in us for us to do any good, for us to do works. So that's what it means when it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Without God within us, we would be all falling short of the glory of God. Beloved, in this world there are many religion, but only Christianity offers redemption based on God's work for us. Any other religion is based on the works of its followers. In Buddhist religion, it tells you to pursue nothingness. It teaches people to pursue the state of nothingness through their own contemplation, through their own religious contemplation. But Christian faith teaches that it is through what God has done for us. And for a such a religious people as the mankind, it is not possible for us to believe that it is salvation is made possible through what God has done for us. We can come to know that only through faith that God grants us. Verse 25 says, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. So he speaks about God. In his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. It's speaking of the sins committed before the coming of Jesus Christ. Then what happened to the sins committed by people before the day of Christ? In the Old Testament times, they offer the blood of an animal. And so how can the blood of an animal forgive sins? It could not. It could not provide for atonement for sin, but it was only covered by the shedding of the sacrificial animal's blood. So in the Old Testament times, it was God's forbearance. The sin was only covered temporarily. But it says God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Verse 26, he did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Beloved, the sins of mankind, the mankind can do nothing about it to save themselves. But there is only one way, and that is to pay for your own sins. That wages of sin upon every mankind is eternal death. So every unbeliever at the end will have to pay for their own sins. But for the believers, they place their faith in the fact that Jesus Christ took upon himself their sins, and he atoned for their own, for their sins. So if you don't have faith in what Christ has done, then you will have to pay for your own sins, and the wages of sin is death. But God, today, out of his mercy, he sent someone else to pay for the penalty of our sins. And not anyone can die for our own sins. That one person had to be a man and had to be God. That person had to be perfect man. He had to be God. He had to be man. He had to be without sin. And the only person with those qualifications is Jesus Christ. He is the one and only sacrifice to atone for the sins of mankind. So until now, when you hear the gospel, there is nothing for you that you can do to be forgiven of your sins. God does not say that you must do this or do that to be forgiven of your sins, but he sent his son Jesus Christ. He sent the second Adam, Jesus Christ, because no man could die and provide atonement for our sins. But he sent his son Jesus Christ. So God himself, the Son of God, had to come. And in the moment we place our faith in what he has done, we too become righteous. But that faith does not come from mankind. It comes from Jesus Christ. In Christ, we are made able to believe, and that faith grants us righteousness. And from mankind, that faith will never come. From mankind only comes from their own will, but the righteousness of God is granted unto us only through Christ, only through what Christ has done for us. And that righteousness that are offered to us through the work of Jesus Christ is made our own through faith that is given by God. And the more you hear the gospel of Christ, the word of Christ, God will use your hearing of the word, and God will till your heart into a fertile soil that you might receive the seed of Christ. And for sure, beloved, faith comes from hearing the word of Christ. And by hearing the word of Christ, you come to know that it is not through your own works, but it is through what God has done for you. Because with God, nothing is impossible. The one who created you and me, God who came here on to this earth to live and die and rise again on our behalf, and God the Spirit who comes and He opens our spiritual eyes to enable us to believe. It is all of God's work. And there is no work that our salvation is based upon. And so it is solely from God's perspective. It is solely what God has done. But Satan continues to tempt mankind to get themselves to come to God with guilty conscience all the time because they only look from their own perspective. They only look at their own guiltiness instead of looking at what God has done for them. Instead of looking at our sin issue from God's perspective. And so even going through life, if we look at our life events from our own perspective, we can't help but be depressed. We can't help but to fail and fall. But if we look at our life events from God's perspective, we will see that through the ups and downs of life, He works out. He works through those things to do good in our lives. And I pray that this faith in Christ will be granted unto you on this day. Let us pray. Father, we have looked into your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will work within us. I pray that these truths will be a reality in our lives. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.